When moving forward seems too much. When you feel totally out of touch. Hope is seeping out the door. You find yourself curled on the floor. The thoughts swirl round all jumbled and why is this brain so darkly obsessed? I've secrets I've never confessed. Haven't told a soul I am pressed. A gentle whisper through the rain, then rainbows follow rain. Breathe deep, hold on tight. Your hope will return, shine. Embrace the past, in gifts, peace. Your rage shall let your strength be shown.
Hello there. It's so good to be back. I'm Elaine Lindsay, and as with the Suicide and Forgiveness, today I am with my guest, Rob Ball. Thank you so much for joining us, Rob.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Just going to take a little moment for housekeeping and say that what you just heard was our song. We have changed the intro for the show. And I'm a little proud of this one because it's a song I wrote. I am not a singer and I am not normally a songwriter, but this is near and dear to my heart. And this came out of 50 years of experience in the suicide awareness space.
So
with that said, I'm just going to go ahead and get Rob to give us a little information on who he is and what he does.
Thank you. I'm a 5-year brain injury survivor. And like you, I have a passion to spread awareness because I felt so alone after I had my brain injury. And to be honest with you, there was many a nights that I laid in bed planning my suicide, and I prayed every night. I said, God, give me a purpose for this pain. And it finally came to me that one day that, you know, I'm still here for a reason and I need to help others that feels just like I feel. That's where my passion and my drive has come from.
We're certainly glad that you found that passion and drive, because I think it's super important.
Yeah.
And brain injuries, there's a lot more out there than people realize. Okay. We, for so many years, didn't consider concussion. We didn't consider the toll that sport takes on people, not to mention all kinds of sports, bike riding, all of these things.
Yeah.
You can be at risk. In all of these areas, horseback riding.
Yeah.
I think of a million things. For that matter, just walking around your house.
Yeah.
It basically covers all of that. And that's unfortunate, but you seem like you're doing very well.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad to see that and hear that. And then without further ado, let's go back to where this started. Why don't you tell us what exactly happened?
Sure.
And then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So it was just a normal day. I have a fish pond out back, and on my last break, because I work from home, I always go out and feed my fish. And I did that like always. And as I was coming back in the door, a bee flew by my head. And I am severely allergic to bees, so it freaked me out. But it just so happens that it flew by my head as I was opening the door. And I ended up getting a 3-inch laceration across the top of my head, which it's still tender to this day.
Oh,
This happened right just as the pandemic started. So I'm like, what do I do? And my wife had just lost her job. So thankfully she was home. Yeah. So she got me to the hospital. Of course, my first concern, which shouldn't have been my first concern, but it was, is I need to call my boss and tell her what's going on. So she finally appeased me and let me call my boss. And my boss goes, get to the hospital.
But it, yeah. It's...
So she got me there. And thankfully, if you remember back at that time, they weren't letting people go back. You were on your own.
Yeah.
So here I am holding a towel to my head to try to stop the bleeding. And I didn't know. I think I remembered my name. I didn't know my birth date. I didn't know my social. I didn't know anything.
Oh my God.
And they made the decision to let my wife go back with me, which was a very good call because I really wasn't. I had no business making any decisions on my own.
No.
Yeah. So five staples later, they send me out the door. And all I know is I have, they called it a concussion. And I have since learned that hospitals hate to call brain injuries, brain injuries.
Injuries.
They want to call it a concussion, which they have recently come out and said that concussions are brain injuries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've been working with the Brain Injury Association of America to help them. And one thing that they told me that they're working on is to give information as people leave the hospital. Because when you leave, you're on your own.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time because each hospital has their own system and all that. But eventually, they're all going to communicate together. So when it leaves, it'll say, you have a concussion or you have a TBI and you should seek this treatment, and these are resources available for you. Because right now, if you go to TBI today, you're on your own. And that's one reason why I wanted to start my podcast too.
Yeah.
As I'm learning still things today that I did not know even existed. And every time I find out information, I share it with people. And there are still people going, I didn't know that service was available to me. So like when I wrote my book, which we'll talk about later, but when I wrote my book, my publisher, she says, what do you want on your website? Because she helped me build a website. And I said, I want resources.
Yeah.
So that people don't have to reinvent the wheel each time.
That is so critically important because I've said this for years because I've had my run-ins with the medical community.
Yeah.
But we think that medicine is so far advanced. And I'm not knocking it. There are certain things that it is advanced in, but it's only certain things. There are vast areas, including pharmacologicals, that they do things and help people, but the doctors don't really know why.
Right.
Don't know exactly what those things do. And in all probability, that original drug was made for something else.
Yeah.
And it just happened to fix this other thing. So the fact that we don't have long-term protocol for brain injury, I'm not shocked, which is sad in a way. I think we should be shocked.
Yeah. It should really make us question why things are the way they are.
Yeah.
For example, when you just kind of ties into what you were just saying, the first neurologist I went to, which wasn't a great neurologist after the fact, but he prescribed me a medication to try to help take my migraines away. I'm going on 5 years with my migraine. It just never goes away. So the medication he gave me was for epileptic seizures. And he said they found out that they were more effective for migraines than they were for the seizures, the intended purpose of the drug. But yeah, we fired him really fast because my first encounter with him, of course, was by myself. And he asked me, my date of birth was the first question he asked me. I didn't know. And he slammed his pen down on the desk and he says, the questions are going to get harder from here. And I was just about in tears when I left his office. And I was like, this is a medical doctor. And he's talking to me like I'm an idiot.
Did he not know why you were there?
Yeah, it was his profession. He was a neurological brain specialist.
Yeah.
But he was the best in the field. He told you.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one of those. Yeah. Yeah. Those are usually the ones you want to run away from.
Yes.
If they tell you, better somebody else tells you that doctor is really good. If mm-hmm. doctor tells you, walk the other way.
Exactly. Just
in between breath.
Yes.
My God. And how long between you going to the hospital for the initial injury and you seeing that first neurologist? How much time went by?
It was probably a couple of months. Because like I said, it was, we didn't know what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I kept, the headaches just wouldn't go away. And after about a week, I'm thinking, this should have gotten better by now. And so my wife said, let's go back to the family doctor. And the family doctor sent for tests. And they confirmed the brain injury. And they said, we might want to see a specialist. So we've heard the horror stories of people that have seen really bad doctors. And my wife is big on that. Is it called health grades, I think?
Yeah.
And so she looked up and there was like hardly anybody in our area that had over 3 stars.
Oh my God.
So the doctor, idiot doctor that we went to, he had 4 stars. That was the best we could do. And he wanted me to wait 2 years to see if I got better. And my wife says, I don't think so.
No.
So she actually started doing her homework. And she got me into cognitive therapy because my ability to remember was really bad then. Now I'm I can remember about 2 weeks now. Well, but there was days that I would say, what do you want for breakfast? And she would look at me and she'd say, you cooked breakfast an hour ago. That's how bad it was. Driving, I would drive to an appointment and halfway there, I would pull over and I'd be crying because I'm like, where am I going? I don't even know where I'm going. So she came up with the genius idea. She grabbed a stack of sticky notes and she goes, we're going to put one in each car. Every time we leave, you're going to write down where you're going and we're going to stick it on the steering wheel. And if I forgot, it was right there for me. Yeah.
Oh my God, that had to be terrifying for both of you.
It was, because it was like, I wouldn't go very far. If it was more than a mile from the house, I wouldn't go by myself.
No.
And plus Sheila was like, am I going to see you again if you leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing we've learned to do is thankfully the phones have the Find My Phone feature on them. So we've enabled that for both of us. So if I should get lost or, a trip to McDonald's should only take a few minutes and he's been gone 2 hours. She can look on the phone and see where I'm at. So that gives her peace of mind. It gives me peace of mind, too.
Yeah, that's critically important. My God. And they're little things that we wouldn't think about.
Yeah, and just like simple things like going to the restaurant and placing an order. Because of the anxiety, and especially way back then, I had a horrible stutter. Now it comes out when I get really tired.
Yeah.
And she can tell I'm on cognitive overload. So when my words start making no sense at all, she'll say, Rob, you need to go lay down and rest.
Yeah.
Not that she's being mean. It's just she recognizes that I have no idea because it makes sense to me, the words that are coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Why don't you understand what I'm saying? But she'll understand that, hey, you've got to have the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. My God. It has to have turned your whole life upside down.
It did. Before my injury, I was the piano behind me. I played that constantly. I don't play it as much as I used to.
Oh.
I still try to every once in a while. When the headaches aren't nearly as bad, I'll play. But and then I also made cakes. You've probably seen the Cake Boss or on the TV where I was doing that. And I was getting some good money on the side as a side gig doing that. I had to give it up because I couldn't spend 8-9 hours in the kitchen decorating. So I really lost who I was, and I mourned that loss forever, because it's like the old person's dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you have to figure out, now what?
And there has to come a point when you're mourning the loss of you and not knowing where you're going. Mm-hmm. You know, what do I do now?
Yeah.
There has to be anger in there somewhere.
Oh, lots of anger, lots of mood swings. And thankfully, my wife is a saint. I don't know how she does it, because, and I've said this so many times that people are probably sick of hearing me say this, but caregivers are the unsung heroes. Because there's days I don't even love me. I know she's got to be pulling her hair out.
I'm sure she still loves you. She may not like you a lot on the bad days.
It's true. That's very true.
Yeah. 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 And it is hard. My father had dementia, and it was only the last 2 years of his life. And it became a litany of five conversations. They were always the same. Monday morning, the conversation was, yep, I'm on the green side of the grass. And, oh, that's good. No, there's no paper today, Daddy. Oh, when did that happen? 2022. Yeah, oh, no, and they're still charging you the same amount. Oh, yeah, sneaky. Oh, I bet the pressmen love that. That was the whole conversation.
Wow.
And that was every single month.
Goodness.
And it got to a point where him and I laughed about it, because he wasn't so far gone. We were very lucky. He knew us all at the end. And us all, only five of us, it's not that big. But he got to stay in his house. He lived 5 minutes from me. And we got to do that. But there were certain things that worried me. And I can understand your wife in, I love my father very much. She obviously loves you very much.
Yeah.
I don't have any patience ever for anything.
Yeah.
Yet I would have patience for my dad. We would take him to his appointments. I would take him to his eye appointment, and we'd halfway there, where are we going? Why are we going? Who made this damn appointment? And then we'd get there, and then we'd go through the same thing over and over again. And it's funny, but when you really love somebody, you do the best you can.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's better for both of you than getting frustrated. I've seen people. I had a friend who worked with people with brain injuries. Pippi was really good. She was a nurse, and she worked at the brain injury center here. I don't remember what it's called now. Unfortunately, she died in her mid-30s. But I remember her saying that you really have to approach it with a bit of humor, because humor takes the sting out of a lot of things.
It does.
Brain injury and dementia, Alzheimer's, all of those things. You have to approach people with a little bit of grace.
Yes.
And that can be really hard. But if you put yourself in their place and treat people the way you want to be treated.
Right.
I think it works a lot better. And you and she are obviously in a good place.
Yeah. That word grace is something that we, especially as a survivor, it's hard to give yourself grace.
Oh, yeah.
I started a support group on Facebook, and we just hit 2,000 members. And that is one thing that we always make sure, whenever someone's saying, boy, I'm just having a bad day, and be kind to yourself. It's okay not to be okay. It's not okay to stay there.
Yes. Yeah. I said there has to be, you can wallow every so often, but there has to be a time limit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one thing that I've always had the ability, and it really goes back to survival mode from my childhood.
Yeah.
but my ability to just take everything and say there is a silver lining, but I got to find it. But I've always found it. And I've been dealt a really bad hand, but I could sit here and be bitter and yell at people and all that. But I've said, I've got to figure out a way to use this instead of why me, how can I help others?
See, that's so good. Now, I will be honest, and as a survivor, in my mid-20s, I was not a nice person. I was consumed by the pain, and the pain spoke. I'm not excusing me. I'm acknowledging.
Yeah.
That was not a nice me. Really not. And it does allow me to give others grace for pain. Because when you live through it, you understand that it does completely change you. And when you add to that, for someone like yourself, that things that you knew used to come easy to you now suddenly don't.
Yeah.
And part of it has to be also, we're still surrounded by patriarchy. So there is that, I'm a man, I should be stoic. I should do whatever.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, very tough. My wife does a lot of things that I used to do. And there's days that, and I'll be the first to admit this, that I don't have an off switch. And I don't recognize when I've done too much. And she'll know it. She'll say, you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay for this. But I'm so pigheaded because I'm a guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but today I feel decent. I haven't felt decent in 8 months. I've vacuumed. I've cleaned the tub. I've done the dishes. And what else can I do? And just because you get that little surge of energy, you got to conserve it.
I'm laughing because, I totally relate to you.
Yeah.
When I have good days, I used to go till I literally dropped. And then to do everything in a day was great, except it took me 7 days to recuperate.
Yes. And
something about this, it does not compute.
Exactly.
And like your wife, my husband will say, oh, there's that sing song voice. You need to stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's so funny because the average day for us is like, there's days taking a shower. That's all your energy for the day.
Yeah.
And the first time I heard someone say that, I'm like, but it's true.
Oh, yeah.
I'll vacuum one room of the house and I've got to go take a nap. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to accept that.
It's hard to accept. Yes, exactly. Because were you into sports?
I wasn't into sports, but I was very athletic.
Okay.
I was at the gym twice a day, an hour each time on the elliptical.
Yeah.
And now I can't even go to the gym because the headaches.
Yeah.
They tell you, you got to go get exercise. Hello, I've got a migraine.
Yeah.
Exercise just gets the blood pumping more. So my head's just going to be even more escalated.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Definitely not what you want.
Right.
Yeah, you have to work around the things that make sense for you.
Exactly. And
I know I used to ride horses. I was a figure skater. I was a downhill skier. All summer long, my friends and I, we rode our bikes 20 to 40 miles a day.
Wow.
Because we wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
When all that stops on a dime, like your whole life changed.
Yeah.
And like you say, sometimes getting from one side of the midriff to the other can be all that can be accomplished.
I look at it like this. There are some in my same situation that can't even do that.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for that. And I do look at the bright side of things. I'm morbid at times because I'll be like, I want to watch this movie. And she'll say, we watched that last week. Guess what? It's a brand new movie to me. I can watch it as many times as I want to.
Yeah. That's what I used to say to Dad. Think of it this way. We can give you presents today And we'll give them to you tomorrow and the day after, and you'll think we're just showering you with gifts.
The running joke here is I could plan my own surprise party.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
I say, hey, at least I could get what I want.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, see, that's, to me, that's part of giving yourself grace is having, being able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's the most, I think that's the best gift you can give yourself, because when we take ourselves too seriously, that's what causes us the most problems.
And I'll tell you, one of the things that I dealt with in the very beginning, which was so hard for me to accept, it was, I would talk about, oh, well, let's go see Aunt so-and-so, or let's go see Cousin Eddie. And my wife would be like, that person passed away. You went to the funeral. I didn't remember that. So then I went through the whole mourning process all over again. But it finally came to the conclusion one day that they're still alive in my head.
Yeah.
I may not be able to go see them. I don't know if I saw them last week or 6 years ago. I don't remember. But in my head, they're still alive. So it's really, when you look at it that way, it's really not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. And to me, that's the difference between why you're such a nice person and generally happy person, because you look on the bright.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever see the movie Pollyanna?
Years ago. I don't remember a lot about it.
Yeah, that's okay. Pollyanna played the glad game. Her father taught her to play the glad game, and that was to find something to be glad about no matter what was happening. And I saw it when I was 5. And that, for me, became the antidote to, I live with suicidal ideation. So for me, that was the antidote. And it was just a constant. And you can find so much to be glad about.
Yeah.
And on bad days, you can just be total grump and find absolutely nothing.
That's true.
But when you realize that you're being a total grump, you can even put yourself out of that.
You can.
Yeah.
There's really no situation that I can't find at least something positive out of.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
I would rather be happy than sad. Yeah, sad absolutely. Feels so bad, and I don't like doing that. I already feel bad with my head. Why do I want to add to
why it? Yeah. Is there hope of some kind of treatment that will deal with the migraines?
They've tried a lot of different things. Botox was one that I do remember.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, if you've ever thought of Botox, for a lot of people think Botox, you look really young. No, you get, and my numbers come out weird because of the brain injury, but you get 3-1 injections all over your skull and in your neck. And when I say it feels the fire from hell going into your head, it does.
Oh, yuck.
On the calendar, I would write torture day.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yes. And my wife went with me the first time, and she almost passed out.
Oh, so, yeah.
She goes, I'll keep taking you, but I'm not going to go anymore. I'm going to wait in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Because she could not. I guess it was to see me in pain.
I was going to say, watching someone you love in pain is the worst torture in the world.
Okay. And she told my doctor, she said, I don't get it. She said, I took him to the ER. I saw him with his head cracked open, and I saw him staple his head back together. She said, I did just fine with that. And he said, yeah, but you're also on an adrenaline high.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. I really hope they find something.
Yeah. Thank you. We've done that. Nerve blocks. Medication. All the medications done's put weight on me.
Oh, not medication, meditation.
Oh, yeah, I do that every once in a while, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it helps clear. To be honest with you, there's one thing that does help while it's being performed. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Havamat. There's not a lot of places that have this option because the machine is very expensive.
Okay.
But it, basically, the way it works is like there's a box and it sends electrical currents out. And it happens whenever you touch to complete the circuit.
Yeah.
So the person that does this to you, you hold a little rod in your hand so you don't get electrocuted. And wherever they touch on your body, you feel the little current coming out. And they'll do that on the back of my skull and on my shoulders. And while they're doing that, I don't feel the pain.
Wow.
But it's only like a 9-ish minute session.
Yeah.
I said, I just need to hire somebody to walk around with me.
To do that all the time. Yeah. I have a friend who had a massive stroke in 1992. And she was concert level pianist and had Sir Edmund Hillary's piano. Like, she was so good. And she couldn't play the piano after. Oh. But more than that, it affected the pain center in her brain. So she lives with feeling in pain 24/7 because of how that was affected. The good news is, in the past 5 years, she has started playing piano again.
Okay.
And with one hand, and she is no longer ambulatory, but she can play the piano and beautifully. It's one hand, but it's still absolutely beautiful.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Yeah, me too. I think there's hope or something. And what about PEMF? Do you know the pulse electromagnetic therapy? Do you know anything about that?
Is it the magnetic things where they put that on your skull?
No, it's like on a bed. They don't actually put them on you.
Oh, I've not heard that.
I will send you some information.
Yeah, that'd be neat for me to research.
Yeah, exactly. It just thinking off the top of my head, because they do come up. I don't want it to sound like we were only talking bad about the medical community, because we're not.
Right.
There are some really good advances. But
oh, absolutely.
One would think, considering where we are on other things, I would have expected us to be further ahead medically.
You know what the sad thing is? There's a lot of treatments out there that we cannot access because of the cost. Insurance will not pay for it.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with my psychologist yesterday or the day before. Anyway, there's a new thing called it's either TMS or TSM, but it's the magnets, and they put them on your.
Yeah.
And it's been shown to improve depression. But there's also a link that it could also help with headaches. And she said, if they bill it as depression, insurance will cover it. But if it's for headaches,
they won't.
And it's very expensive, which is why insurance doesn't want to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of those things too. And eventually, we hope the price of a lot of this comes down. But
right.
It's not immediate access, that's for sure. I have to say, you're very upbeat when I talk to you. And I think that's really important, because your attitude also dictates, I think, how far into your pain you are.
Yeah.
And it's up to us to choose to alleviate as much as we can.
Yeah, that's the question that I get asked the very most is, I don't know how you do it. How do you do it? And I say, you know, when you don't have a choice, you figure it out. Just like people that have amputees, you lost your leg, your arm. I don't know how I would operate with just one arm, but you know what? If I lost an arm, I would figure it out.
Because the alternative.
Yeah.
It's not so great.
The easiest thing in life is to do nothing.
That's true.
And I've never been one to do nothing.
It's also boring.
It is. Don't get me wrong. After when the lights are off and the cameras shut down and there's no one else is around, I crash. And I'm just done for the day.
And I'm sure your wife, like my husband, they're the ones that get the full bore. If you're having a bad day, they're the ones. Mm-hmm. So he's the one that gets all the whining. People think I'm sunshine and light. Yeah, that's only because he gets the whiny stuff in the back.
That's so true.
They are saints. Let's just put that.
Yes.
In. They are saints.
Yep. And so you got to give yourself grace sometimes whenever they're having a bad day, because you have to realize their bad day is probably because of something I've done anyway.
Oh, I know. It's something I know. Because I could be a handful.
Yeah.
Even before things.
That's funny.
But you're absolutely right. You never know how far you can go or push yourself until you don't have an option.
Yeah.
And notice I said option, because we always have a choice.
Yes.
And
that, I wrote that in my book. I said it was sink or swim. I'm not a sinker.
No, and Viktor Frankl, engraved in my brain. When push comes to shove, everything else can be gone, but I can choose.
Yep.
Whether I react or I don't, it's up to me. And that, for me, that's really empowering.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've talked to people and I said, but how is that empowering? You're talking about pain. Well, yeah, but having the choice to sink into it or rise above it, I think that's a pretty good choice.
I do too.
Yeah.
Very good choice.
What's next for you? Yeah, we know you have a book, My Life Rewired, and you have a podcast.
Yeah.
What's next?
My author has reached out to me and she wants to discuss the possibility of taking my book, because the book is basically all of the traumas I've survived, bullies, sexual abuse, parental abuse, things like that. She wants to see about making it each chapter a children's book. So I'm open to the idea. I think we're going to do that.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That is absolutely excellent.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the next venture.
Oh, I like that. I like that. And that is part of what sets you apart.
Yeah. I've always had a heart for people. And to... I talked about this earlier this week with somebody. I said, I was my counselor. I said, I don't do well with praise. When people tell me how good I am, like, I'm just trying to lift others up. But when people tell me that, I tend to either ignore the comment or diffuse it. Yeah, but you're even better than that. I just have a really hard time accepting it.
Okay, you and I are very alike in a lot of, but I'm going to tell you something somebody told me. Can't pour from an empty cup. And if you don't use those accolades or those good comments or compliments as the food to keep you going to do the right thing, and to continue to help others. If you starve yourself, you can't help anyone.
That's a good comment.
And it took me such a long time to digest that and realize, oh, okay. Because every time we deflect something, we were actually, in a way, putting that person down. When somebody says to you, you're doing something really well, and you say, oh, no, it's nothing. Just hang on. Does my opinion not count? And I know we don't realize that's what we're doing. But
it's true.
Yeah. And that judgment, we don't have a right to make judgment.
Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
So you got to open yourself up to the good stuff.
Maybe I'll crack the book just a little bit.
Yeah.
But...
let's just a little bit. Hey, I've been around a lot longer than you, and it took me a long time.
Life is a learning process, isn't it?
Yeah, and sometimes the learning is just a little slower.
Exactly.
Well, it is for other people, but hey, it's about as long as you learn it eventually. It's an important thing.
If we took half the advice that we give everybody else, we'd be
wouldn't we? Yeah. Oh, my God, even a quarter.
Yeah.
Full of good stuff. Yeah, if I could just apply it, that would be so good.
Exactly.
I have to say, Rob, I thank you so much for coming and talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
I see us talking again sometime soon, perhaps about the new series of children's books.
That'd be neat. Yes, I love it.
Wonderful. Or I'm sure we could talk about other things, too. I would love to have you return.
I do have the gift of gab.
Excellent. Then you and I are two peas in the pod. I think that works wonderfully.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Rob Baugh has been with us today. I'm Elaine Lindsay. This is Suicide Zen Forgiveness. And as per usual, I say, make the very most of your today, every day. And we're going to see you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you for being here for another inspiring episode of Suicide Zen Forgiveness. We appreciate you tuning in. Please subscribe and download on your favorite service and check out SZF's YouTube channel or Facebook community. If you have the chance to leave a 5-star rating or review, it'd be greatly appreciated. Please refer this to a friend you know who may benefit from the hope and inspiration from our guests. Suicide Zen Forgiveness was brought to you by the following sponsors. Trul Social Media, the digital integration specialists. Let them get you rocking page one in the search results. Canada's keynote humorist, Judy Kroon, motivational speaker, comedian, author, and stand-up coach at Second City. Judy has been involved for over a decade in the City Street Outreach Program in Toronto. Do you have a story to share? Do you know someone you think would be a great guest? Please go to szf42.com. And for our American listeners, that's scf42.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again.
The pain, real, good, whole, good, human.